It's July 22nd, 2016. It's Friday, 8.07 p.m. And I'm on Highway 2 in the San Gabriel Mountains in Southern California. Sun is setting, or it's set. Now we have just an illumination from above. Some of the highest clouds are still lit up. And I wanted to make this comment that I'm almost always in a state of rejection of my environment. Whether it's at work near the tower, cell tower, and I have to kind of gird myself emotionally, psychologically, energetically against this invasive energy. Or, you know, they're spraying heavily outside and I you know, want to be on the inside and turn on the air purifier. Or it's 110 degrees out and, you know, the temperature is just too hot to be comfortable. And so I want to cool it a bit. And, you know, this is one of the things about Hawaii when I was living there. I lived, you know, 2,500 feet up, which is not bad. It's pretty cold when you're up at 4,000 or 5,000 feet in Hawaii. There the temperature, I had my windows open all year round. No heater, no AC. It might have gotten into the, maybe the mid-50s or so on a particularly cold spell. And then in the mid-80s on a hot one. But in general, it was temperatures that were very easily lived with. But here in California, especially in the desert, the temperatures are much more extreme. And what I wanted to say is that this is one of the very few times that I have my windows down and the AC off in this car. It was 115 or so. In Coachella Valley, it was a heat wave everywhere. But up here, it was in the low, in the mid 70s, in the at the height of the day. Now it's like 67. It's amazing. It's probably 105 in Palm Springs right now. Probably 106 or so. I know it was 107 when I was leaving Palm Springs at about a little after 10. You know, that's brutal. You know, that's not going to be a good day when it's that hot already. But it's not just the temperature and the dryness, this very comfortable, actually it's sublime weather here. You know, it'll be cold later tonight, but right now, pine-scented air, 68 degrees, indirect lighting off the sky, don't really need headlamps yet, headlights on my car. And the other very important thing, apart from temperature, is exhaust. I like to be the only one on the road. And so it would be maybe in a, with good temperatures and no chem, and no aerosol spraying of heavy metals, etc. On a country road, I'd have my windows down, or on an empty street. Then I would have no problem. Having my windows down. But here, you know, I'm about the only car on the road. And so, I'm not getting someone else's exhaust. I'm not breathing it in. In which case I'd want to turn on my my in-cabin air filter and shut the windows if there was traffic. But the cars themselves are, their wheels, in addition to the exhaust, their wheels kick up the particulate matter, the heavy metals, the toxins that are on the ground, that are on the pavement, on the road. because there is a layer of dust over everything. It's in the water that I distill. These particles are so small that they get through my reverse osmosis system, which can reduce down to 0.01 microns, which is tiny. And these, some of these nanoparticles are smaller than that because I'm reducing my RO water from 30 parts per million down to 0.2 or something after going through distillation. And at the bottom of the distiller is like a brown bronze material. I take it to be arsenic, aluminum, barium, heavy metals that might. And it's not like scale. It's nothing flaky. It's like almost like a metal that adheres and bonds to my stainless steel boiling plate at the bottom of the boiling chamber for my RO. For my water-wise distiller. But what I mean to say is that the dust is not safe. You know, we would need to go a good couple of years of rain and the microbes, etc., trying to adapt, trying to digest, trying to bond, to neutralize, to make organic this this weaponized nanoparticulate matter. Weaponized meaning, you know, it's free form. Like aluminum is not in free form like this in the environment. It's always bound with something as an aluminum oxide. It's not. It's like free aluminum or something. So I don't trust the air for days after the spraying, and dust, it would take me some years before I believe the dust to be benign. Now I'm at Inspiration Point near Wrightwood. People are there overlooking. It's like 7,000 feet or so, looking down onto the San Fernando Valley floor that might be just a few hundred feet up. So it's quite a dramatic viewpoint. And that's it right now. Over and out. Yeah, oh wait, not over and out yet. After my hike, which I did today, I rinse off with 2 gallons of reverse osmosis water. I scrub everything on me, you know, and I'm wearing like these synthetic nylon little hiking, these boxers that I wear underneath, and then when the sun goes down I'm on my last leg of the hike, I will take off my pants and I'll hike in these frictionless, because my thighs are pretty big, they rub together sometimes, but not with this nylon boxer that I wear. But anyways, I wash off, and then in the car here, I'm wearing clean socks, open leather sandals, and boxers, with no shirt, no pants, all the windows down, and it's 68 degrees, pine-scented air, and it's glorious. That was a car. There's a couple cars past me the other direction. So please, in your own life, you want roads with no traffic. You want air with no heavy metals injected into it, or biological agents, or whatever the hell that they're doing. And not, you know, there was sort of a joke about Howard Hughes being paranoid about his environment. You know, wouldn't want to touch anything. I'm okay with poop, pee, saliva, for the most part, all of that. It's not a problem. You know, I don't, human cooties, human germs is fine, but what I can't abide by are inorganic pollution, toxic material. That's something that I don't want to be around, and the world's full of it. You know, there's a lot of it, and but you do need to take off your paranoid cap once in a while, and bond with your environment, which then, you know, I'm not suggesting that you go surfing at a river mouth after a storm with all the oil and effluent and sewage and all the other crap coming down into the water. You know, people get sick that way. But be intelligent and look for places that are clean, that are healthy for you. You know, not near cellular towers, not near industrial pollution, not near aerosol, you know, aerosol spraying programs, not near, not downwind of a nuclear reactor, etc., etc. Do your best to find that. And then open up to it. Exercise. Meditate on it. Because we're not meant to be in a state of rejection, a state of denial of our world. It's really unhealthy. It's really, I mean, it's a matter of survival sometimes, but it's not meant to be our modus operandi or our, you know, our and so it's not healthy psychologically to be in that state of constant monitoring and filtering your environment. Sometimes you need to be in a place where you can let your guard down, be around people you can trust that love you, you know, as far as the social dimension goes, emotional dimension, it's got to be safe emotionally, and then environmentally, physically, which is, you know, the basis for all these other things. You know, for me, I'd like to be doing something like this every day. I can't afford it. You know, it's a long where I am. I'm driving 5 hours round trip for this particular hike that I do. You know, that's excessive. Certainly can't do that on a daily basis. But for me during the week, what I have planned for this upcoming school year is 2 days a week I'll be hiking in Joshua Tree, and 1 day a week up here is what the hope is. That'll give me 3 days a week in reduced electromagnetic field for at least a few hours. That's awesome. Over and out.